Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Traders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yep, we're getting spooky a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah, a little treat.
Halloween came early.
Even though October has five Fridays in it.
So
there is going to be like five, like...
That's so exciting. Yeah, Halloween's on a Friday this year, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
That's awesome.
But also, like, Frankenstein comes out in the middle of October.
Let's read the Frankenstein book.
The Frankenstein book?
Wasn't there one? The Michael... What's that dude's name? Conrad? No. The Silver Coin guy.
Oh, Michael Walsh?
Michael Walsh, yeah. Didn't he do a Frankenstein?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of options when it comes to Frankenstein.
Oh, cool.
Actually.
Yeah.
There's Frankenstein, the Agent of Shade. We could go back to that.
Go back to, second volume of that shit.
Exactly. So we'd still have like four... normal horror books, and then a Frankenstein book, which is horror-esque.
Okay, cool. I like that.
And then this, lots of horror this year.
Lots of horror.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
We had Conjuring, which was a treat.
Yeah, that was a really great book. Did you not have like the biggest opening for a Conjuring like movie?
The fourth one?
This most recent one. It was like one of the highest grossing like first weekends for a horror movie ever. I saw crazy stats that I didn't believe.
Dang, I need to look that up. That seems crazy.
It is weird.
I thought they kind of were falling off, so I didn't expect
this one. That's what I thought. I was like the fourth one or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but good for them. And there's been the Annabelles.
Yeah.
People love it still, I guess.
A couple bells here and there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Marvel Zombies Destroy. We got Back Matter Matters and the Polis, but we start with the news. Nathan, not really news, but I saw something really cool that I wanted to show you.
Okay. I like cool things.
Yeah. So, this is at the gas station by my house.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen something like this at like Winco.
At Winco? That's cool. But this is at like a gas station.
Yeah, you know? Cool. Oh, wow. They got
deceased
Chuck
in there.
Dixon, Batgirl.
They got Batgirl. They had like Rebirth Suicide Squad.
That's got to be a big seller. $329. Man, I wish we still had those prices. World's Finest Elementary. I wonder what that means.
I guess they just have like a kids one or something.
They have a kids version? Censored?
Maybe.
I'm not into it anymore.
Yeah.
Don't censor the books for our kids.
Scooby-Doo Team Up?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was like,
DC always does shit like that.
I was like, should I buy one just to support this?
I've done that before. Like, I bought I think I did that at Walmart once, and I bought like the Red Eagle or something, which is some weird indie book.
What's really fucking nerdy about this is like, if I told Sarah next time she went to the gas station to pick me up a comic, there's a 50-50 shot that I've read one of these before, you know?
Yeah. We should read that Batgirl one.
By Chuck Dixon?
Chuck Dixon is the artist on it. Or the writer.
Scott Beatty?
Yeah.
This is Marcos Martín. So probably...
Oh, Chuck Dixon, I think, is the writer. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah,
didn't he create Bane?
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up now. Bane was created by Dennis O'Neill, Chuck Dixon, and Graham Nolan.
Yeah.
That is cool.
We should do Batgirl in general, probably.
Yeah, we haven't done any of them.
Anyway, news, you got any?
Yeah. Then you know DC KO?
Yep.
Have you seen the lineup or the bracket?
I saw the lineup. I don't know if I saw the bracket.
There's a bracket, and I guess like... each issue or something is going to be them going through the bracket. So I'll just give this to you to look through.
Okay, here we go.
There's like 64 or 32 heroes or something like that. So
Captain Adam Power Girl would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
it's like a lot of matchups.
I feel like it's not going to be who would actually win.
Because it would just be like Superman or something, right? So
yeah, and I feel like it'll be just like who's just like a more popular character.
I think that Scott Snyder...
Aquaman and King Shark, that seems unfair.
That seems like a good matchup. What do you mean that's unfair? Because he could talk to him?
He could troll him, probably.
I don't think he can control fish. I think he just talks to him.
Like, the demon and Supergirl?
There's some matchups that are unfair, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, there was a... Connor Hawk versus, like...
Hawkman?
Hawkman, he's getting his shit rocked. There's no way Connor Hawk leaves that alive.
Zatanna and Big Barda.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that one. I feel like magic kind of clears, but
Damian Wayne and Red Hood is a cool.
Yeah, I like that one. Match-up. I think that'd be fun.
Vixen and Swamp Thing is interesting. Lowell and Plastic Man seems.
I think it'll just be entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there's some like obvious matchups.
I wouldn't necessarily like switch anything. I guess just because that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, there's some like, you know, out of left field matchups. Some of them are pretty obvious, but
when's that come out again?
Don't know. I can't remember.
All right.
They know the Emmys happened. Do you want to know what superhero things won?
The Emmys are this weekend.
Huh?
The Emmys are this weekend.
Oh, but I think they announced some that aren't going to be televised. So The Penguins already won like 8 Emmys.
For what?
Best contemporary hairstyling, best contemporary costumes, best contemporary makeup. But I thought those are ones that they televise. Like, best original score, best sound mixing, best sound editing, best prosthetic makeup. That one makes sense.
I think they mostly just do, like, the actors and then, like...
And then the boys won...
Pictures.
The Emmy for best original music and lyrics for Let's Put the Christ Back in Christmas. That, like, show... Vought on Ice. Which is a pretty funny one. I remember that. So... I guess there's probably going to be more Emmys then this weekend, because I thought that just already happened.
They just have like a preliminary Emmys?
I guess so. I don't know. Discussing Film said all this. So
neat. That's cool. Nathan.
What?
Rick and Morty comics.
We've read one of them.
Yep. At Oni Press.
Mm-hmm.
New book, Rick and Morty, The End.
Of all of them?
Coming December 3rd.
Oh, wow.
I assume so.
Or maybe they just go to some place called The End.
Perhaps the end of the universe, maybe.
Yeah, it could be. That's cool.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of comics.
They have had quite a bit. So if they actually ended...
That'd be neat.
That doesn't seem like unrealistic.
Yeah.
By Daniel Kibblesmith and Jarrett Williams.
Daniel Kibblesmith. That's a name I know.
Is it?
I think so.
Mm.
But I couldn't name anything off the top of my head. I think Rick and Morty kind of fell off. Does it feel like that?
The show, and then, yeah, it seems like the...
I mean, I guess after the Justin Roiland thing, it may not have gotten back to what it
was.
It
doesn't seem like it ever kind of recovered from that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Guilty or not. He did some Loki comics. He did Quantum and Woody.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
In 2017.
I have a graded book by him.
Black Panther and Deadpool. He did Lockjaw.
That's right. He did.
Valiant High.
That sounds fun. Like in the Valiant universe?
I guess so.
That's cool. Yeah, I have his Lockjaw book. Now that I think about it.
So,
when's our pet month? When are we going to do Lockjaw and then Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers and then some crypto book? Maybe when the crypto trade comes out?
Yeah, that's probably
that'll be a good time to do it. Daniel, yeah, remember Kingdom Come? We read that.
Yeah.
Well, now it's going to be adapted as an epic audio drama.
Ooh.
It features 30-person cast, cinematic sound design, and a stirring orchestral score that'll be released on November 18th.
You know, The Boys has an audiobook.
Really?
Yeah, and they have an audiobook for like all of it.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it was free on Spotify.
That's cool.
And
I think
I like was kind of like bored at work, and I like was listening to audiobook while reading it. It was kind of interesting. Sometimes like the voices didn't necessarily like match up with like what I had in my head, you know. But
for some of the like you're reading The Boys comic while listening. Oh, interesting. Because
it's like it's like an audiobook of the comic.
Got it. You know? Okay.
But for some reason, like, it wasn't exactly the comic, I guess. Like, it's not like someone was just reading the comic to you.
Right. Because
that also had, like, a full cast, you know?
Interesting.
So things are kind of, like,
so they skipped some panels, I assume?
Yeah, or it was just in, like, a wrong order for some reason.
That's weird.
It's kind of interesting.
I remember listening to the Riddler Spotify original.
Like, the story or whatever?
Yeah, the story one. And I was like, this is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's for me. But maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll try Kingdom Come, because I don't really remember a lot about that story.
I just remember how it looked. So
it looks
great. Audiobook isn't necessarily like tickle my fancy.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I feel like the best part of that book is how it looks. Now that I think about it. But who knows, maybe a good cast and score will.
Is there any like upgrade. Famous people?
I'm sure that would have been part of the headline if there was.
Yeah.
If they were like, fucking, we got David Corn Sweat. He's going to do it, you know?
But yeah.
Probably not. Daniel, you heard of I Hate Fairyland?
Yep.
Well, there's going to be a crossover with recent public domain figure Popeye. Popeye's going to be in I Hate Fairyland.
Oh, that sounds...
In number 45 this October from Image Comics. So that's pretty fun.
Nice.
And there's a Scotty Young. It's not going to be drawn by Scotty Young. It's going to be drawn by Jay Foshjit, who did...
Is that who's been doing it?
It might be.
The art?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because... Scotty drew a...
Cover?
A fun, like, Popeye thing.
Okay.
He's pretty good. I thought that was interesting. That's going to happen more and more as things start to go into public domain. Maybe pretty soon Batman's going to be in public domain, or Superman.
In I Hate Fairyland.
In I Hate Fairyland, yeah.
Yeah. Not really news, but you remember that Event Horizon prequel comic that was coming out by...
Event Horizon?
Christian Ward? Yeah.
No. Prequel to what?
So Event Horizon is like a sci-fi movie from the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And there's like a prequel called like Dark Descent or something.
Mm-hmm.
Parker texted me about that. He's like, I don't know if you heard about this, but this is pretty good. And he texted me like the cover of like
of Event Horizon,
that book. I'm like, yeah, I heard it's pretty good, especially if you like the movie. He's like, there's a movie?
He's reading it. How did he get his hands on that then?
I think he just liked the cover.
He didn't text me that. He didn't talk to me about it.
Because you don't even like read comics, dude.
I do.
Is that about Green Lantern? So,
yeah, I think
maybe I'm just trying more new things, I guess. But yeah, so he didn't know it was like a
like
comic.
A movie.
Yeah, and he looked up. He's like, "Is it from the 90s?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude." Maybe this will enhance your experience like watching it or something.
Is it Christian Ward drawn?
I think he's writing it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I just thought that was funny. Just like to pick up a comic like just based off the cover, and like there's just this background they know nothing about.
I mean, if it's a prequel, then it's like you don't
I wonder
know
if
anything,
it'll
right?
like end like kind of picking up where the movie starts,
and he's like oh, that sucks,
left on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. What are they doing?
Anyway,
it's like watching Rogue One and being like, who the fuck is that guy at the end?
What you doing with the plans?
Yeah, what do you mean about what are they gonna do now?
When did Rogue One 2 come out?
Rogue One 2. That'd be stupid.
That's all you need yet?
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, Nathan, what did we read this week?
We read Marvel Zombies Destroy. I almost read the wrong one because there's a Marvel Zombies one word title thing that I almost read.
There's a couple of those.
But
this one doesn't even have a colon, I don't think, does it?
But yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean? There's like Marvel Zombies Resurrection, Marvel Zombies... Whatever.
Two.
Yeah. But this is Marvel Zombies Destroy, written by, let me get the name.
Frank Marafino writes issues 1 and 2, and Peter David writes issues 3 and 5.
Oh, really? Okay.
Art by Mirko Pierfederici.
That sounds good.
He
does
1, 2, 4, and 5. And Al Barrianevo does pencils on issue 3.
Got it.
Rick Magyar does inks on issue 3. Gary Henderson does all the colors.
Where are you finding this?
The page. The credits page is like page like 3. What are you looking at? Do you have the trade?
I don't have a credits page.
Really? This is what was on Hoopla.
No, it's kind of fucked on the Kindle version.
Really? It's like the second page.
It's like 2 pages put in one, but it's not a credits page.
That's the back page, dude.
I know, but like
the one on the left
is the first page, and then this, yeah, that's the back page, and then it just kind of goes into the book.
Oh, weird. Okay. Don't worry, I got it, dude.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Because there's some hard names in here, so I'm glad that you did it.
Yeah, maybe the hardest lineup of names we've had.
And also the hardest lineup of characters in a Marvel Zombies book, Daniel. Because we got Dum Dum Dugan.
Nice.
And this is the most I think we've seen of Dum Dum, even though he's a character.
We've never read any like Howling Commandos or anything.
We should.
So we absolutely should.
I think isn't he also in that space one?
The Guardians of the Galaxy?
No. I think it is armor. No.
Alternate reality
or something. There's like a spear team. The one that has Puck. You remember Puck?
Like,
do you know what I'm saying?
Like A-Force or something? Or
it's like kind of like A-Force, like, is like the women. It's the woke Avengers, Daniel. I think it's called Spear or something.
Hold on.
I'm going to look it up.
Isn't Puck like the Canadian team?
Yeah. Well, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian? I thought he was like a veteran. Like an American veteran.
You were close with... Actually, you weren't. You were kind of close with actually the A-Force.
It's fucking...
What's A in the Greek alphabet?
Alpha Force?
Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight?
Yeah.
It's like,
did we do Alpha Flight? Something was in Alpha Flight. I feel like, and Dum Dum Dugan was there, I thought.
I don't know. I think I bought the number one of Alpha Flight like a year ago.
What?
Yeah, because there's like a new one. I just want to like try it maybe. Mm. But anyway.
I think Alpha Flight's an indicator when Marvel's just putting out too much. Like
when they get to Canadian people.
When they get to the Canadians. It's like, okay, we got to stop buying their books. Yeah,
let's cut off at the borders. How about that?
Yeah, let's keep them in America. But anyway, in this lineup, we have Dum Dum Dugan. We also have Howard the Duck.
Hell yeah, brother.
Which is cool. This is our third Marvel Zombies book.
It is?
Because we did Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness.
Oh, we did.
With John Layman.
True. He was on the pod.
He was on the pod. It was pretty cool. But what did you think about this?
You know, this is like a 2012 comic.
Yeah.
And I feel like in that era, like, shitty comics were like still like kind of good. Like they weren't like that bad. Like they're like fun things about them.
This one has fun things about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's like definitely not. I never expected anything Marvel Zombies to be as good as like just the OG run.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just kind of like familiar elements and something that feels like it's.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the same universe, but essentially same
idea.
Yeah.
This is not, what's interesting is that this is not a horror book, like, at all.
Yeah.
Just kind of like a fun romp, but like it takes silly characters and puts them in a Marvel Zombies situation.
Right.
And then there's just like crazy things that kind of ensue. So if you like comics when they just kind of go balls to the wall, just like insane.
And anything can happen.
And like anything can happen, this is kind of like what that is. But it's not like a dark, gritty, I'm trying to survive. They willingly go to this dimension that are just full of Marvel Zombies.
Right.
You know? And so I think it's interesting.
It is.
I think it's just like kind of a twist on the normal.
It's weird that Frank Morofino wrote the first two issues and then just like jump ship or something. And then Peter David and I kind of wrapped this up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that was about.
I'm like who plotted the whole thing?
I could kind of feel that.
Did he not know the ending?
I don't know.
You know, he's like, Peter David, help.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I didn't even notice that it was a different writer because I was just like, I don't know. It's all.
Yeah, I guess I like was anticipating it because I saw the credits page.
Yeah.
But that'd be so funny because that almost makes it better because someone was able to wrap it up.
Someone just.
Someone just had too many ideas and didn't know how to land the ship.
He took the reins.
Yeah.
The pilot passed out and the co-pilot had to take over.
Yeah.
Figure out how to land everything.
There's Mike Del Mundo covers.
He's
which
so
fucking rule,
good.
Which is like maybe the best part.
It's the best part easily.
It made me very excited for each new issue.
Because like, oh, what's he going to do this time?
And then I started reading.
He's like, great, man. He does like a lot of Thor covers and he did some Thor, Jason Aaron Thor issues that were like fill-in ones.
Nice.
And they were always very exciting, like fill-in issues. Mm-hmm. I think he did a whole trade at one point while Russell Dowderman at the time was, I guess, getting ahead on other stuff.
Yeah.
Or I think he was doing an event, something like that. But yeah, he's great.
The thing with this is that it feels like a spin-off comic, but I'm not sure what like the main comic would be necessarily. Like it feels it's coming out at the same time as like another Marvel Zombies book.
Yeah, it just feels like there's maybe a big Marvel Zombies wave and they're like, well, if you want more Marvel Zombies, we got this.
But there's like been like some sort of Marvel Zombies like every other year, you know.
Has there?
It feels like it.
Yeah, probably.
There's a lot of options.
There's probably a better Marvel Zombies than this.
Absolutely.
But there's probably not any of them that have this identity with, like, Howard the Duck leading a team.
Yeah, that's of people, true.
You know, so
I'll be honest, that was a pretty strong selling point for me.
It should be, yeah.
Because I see, you know, a bunch of zombies. I see Howard the Duck on the shoulders of Dum Dum Dugan, and he's shooting two big ass guns.
Mike Del Mundo knows how to sell a fucking book.
So it was hard for me to choose anything else.
No, this is good clickbait for sure. But unfortunately, I don't think this is even the best Marvel Zombies book with Howard the Duck in it.
Ooh, yeah, it's
because Marvel Zombies vs. Army of Darkness had a zombified Howard the Duck in it.
Mm-hmm,
so, And I like that one a little bit better. But this one's not bad. So let's jump into it.
I'm glad. I thought you were going to tear it apart, but...
No, I mean, it's not like I would not recommend it, sure. I don't think, but it's just like, it's fun. It's easy to get through, I think. They have, one criticism I definitely have is there's way too many characters.
Yeah.
And then they add more characters once there's already too many characters. Like, they start to thin them out, which is cool. Like, it's a very, like, Suicide Squad sort of thing where it's like, people are just going to die. And I'm like, okay, cool. I understand why the team was so big in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But then they add more people to the team, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's like, okay, we're sticking to like a quota of characters, I guess, that we have to write. But anyway, the story centers around the goat, Dum Dum Dugan, who wakes up in his apartment to find that Howard the Duck is there, and he's trying to recruit him to Armor, where they plan to stop an alternate dimension where Nazis won World War II by becoming zombies, and they're now trying to take over other dimensions and make them all zombified. So they're like, we got to stop them. Dugan eventually agrees to help, and he meets his team. They enter a transdimensional ship, and they go to Earth 12591, where they're shot down by cannons that fire zombies at them. They're not zombies firing cannons. The cannons are shooting zombies at them.
Brilliant.
That's pretty fun. I was like, okay, all right, we're getting somewhere. The ship is brought down, and they're quickly met by zombie versions of the invaders. So, crazy first issue.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Pop quiz. What does Armor stand for? Without looking.
Alternate reality.
Okay.
Measure.
We're losing him.
Fuck. alternate reality members. What is it?
It's Alternate Reality Monitoring and Operational Response Agency.
Okay, there's some letters in there that are, like, missing. It should be, like...
It's A-R-M-O-R.
Amortria or something like that.
Yeah, I think they always... It's funny. Who makes up the names for, like...
They all seem to work really well and make cool
like
words.
Like, this one kind of makes sense. Like, Shield, that's a cool one. There's, like, Spear, which is, like, I think a space one. And then this one's also pretty cool, Armor.
Right.
But someone's like pretty good at making up these names. I wonder if it's like editors or something.
Probably.
Like they probably make up some for a team called like Pussy or something. You know. But it's crazy. They know the team lineup. Normally, like, I know the B, C, D list characters, but I didn't know anybody in this, which is crazy. Outside of like Dugan and Howard the Duck. But we have Battlestar, Red Raven, Blazing Skull, which is Timu, Ghost Rider, I think. Dynaman, Eternal Brain, Gurr, Dragoon, Flexo, who's like a robot, Breeze Barton, and Taxi Taylor. And in this issue, Gurr, who's like an animal, Lion Man, and Breeze die. So when you saw the splash page of everybody, were you like, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of people.
I was like, oh, I don't know any of them.
I know. It's like kind of surprising because I feel like we know Ball a little bit.
Yeah.
But these are definitely like,
I'm not going to remember any of them, though.
No, I'm not. But, you know, if this was like maybe four or five people, you could learn about them a little bit. But most of them just kind of die right off the bat, which is fine.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of... you kind of lose track of them.
You definitely
do. You know, and some of them don't really have much dialogue until like later.
They're about to die. Or like they're just in the middle of action.
Like the Eternal Brain is like a robot walking around with a brain inside a little dome.
Yeah, a brain of an
eternal. I forgot he was there until like the last issue.
Yeah, until he was like needed.
I was waiting for Flexo to do something like the entire game or the entire book because I just thought he looked interesting.
Yeah,
he does look like a robot.
I think he just looks like G.I. Robot.
Basically. So
maybe, yeah, I think it just kind of scratches
He's got like army pants on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Taxi Taylor seemed to be like the most important one throughout the book.
She's the most crucial by far.
What does she do?
Can
she turn anything into a taxi or something?
No, she is the one that takes them to the new dimension. She has like multi-dimensional powers.
Okay.
So I think she like grabs onto something and she could take it to a new dimension with her. So she's like actually needed in this.
Right.
Everybody else is just kind of like just down to do it, I guess.
I guess Breeze Barton is like Clint Barton's like relative or something.
Mm.
I don't know if he does anything in this.
He dies.
Yeah.
In this issue.
What does he got? Does he have a crossbow or something? Or is that just a gun?
I think he just has a gun.
Yeah, okay.
But I like Howard the Duck in this. I don't know why he has any skin in this game of like the Marvel zombies in a different dimension, but he's here and he looks great. I think the artist does a really good job with like keeping a cartoony duck kind of on the page.
For sure. It seems like he's like, there's like different version or different ways to draw Howard the Duck all in this book. Like, it's like, I feel like they don't really stick to one design necessarily.
Yeah. At the end of this, he has like a little army like uniform on, and I think that's kind of funny. He's got like the helmet and everything at the end of this issue.
Hmm. Oh, Breeze Barton is like a World War II pilot.
No relation to Clint? Or is he like grandfather or something?
I think they like retconned it so that he was.
Hmm.
But Breeze Barton's in like Timely Comics Daring Mystery Comics number 3, which came out in 1940.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, so he was going to the 40s to get characters for this book. Which is respectable.
Yeah, I mean, maybe...
I guess just to, like, find people that are in Dum Dum Dugan's era, maybe? Maybe that was his intention?
Yeah, that could work. Anyway.
Did you see the evil Mount Rushmore? It has, like, Red Skull and, like, Baron Zemo and stuff like that.
You know, I saw that. And
Arnim Zola.
I thought it would be more effective if, like, it was more recognizable to me.
Yeah, I only knew Red Skull, and that was me guessing, because obviously the mountain's not red, and then Arnim Zola, which is like the robot-looking one, but I couldn't really tell
that
the other ones. I think one might be Zemo, and one's just a KKK clan member or something. I don't know what it is.
One just looks like a Martian or something on
it
the left.
It could be Martian, or like a Pinhead
maybe,
from the movie Pinheads.
Maybe.
Or Patrick Starr.
And then like...
But they're like zombified versions in the Mount Rushmore.
Right.
Which is funny.
Which is clever, I guess.
Like, what zombie knows how to do that? I mean, they seem pretty smart, I guess.
Yeah. So these zombies are like kind of like smart in a way. They're like,
they talk to each other and
they have consciousness,
yeah.
You know, and they're just kind of hungry people.
I mean, I think that's in the spirit of original Marvel zombies, right?
Right.
They seem a little bit more fueled by hunger.
They're consistent with that.
Yeah.
But it seems like in the show that's coming out...
They're just zombies.
They're just zombies.
Typical zombies, yeah.
Yeah.
Zombies with powers. But issue 2, the team starts fighting the zombie invaders. Red Raven saves Taxi from zombie Golden Girl, but becomes a zombie in the process. And then zombie Namor throws Dynaman into a zombie squid, which is pretty cool. Then they're saved by a human... all-female team named the Suffragists. Which is a crazy name, I think, for an all-female team. I read that and I was like, I can't decide in this moment if this is like a weird, bad name. You know what I mean? But whatever. Miss America introduces Zephyr Zog, who's like this German scientist that tells us that the outbreak began when Hitler ate a death spore flower. And then Zephyr's like, I'm going to help you sneak into the Nazi zombie base and destroy their transdimensional ship that they're trying to use to get to other dimensions. But they get ambushed by zombies, which is when we see that a zombie Dum Dum Dugan is leading the zombies. So Dano, the Suffragists, it includes a team of Miss America, Libertas, Columbia, and Riveter, who's like a Rosie the Riveter superhero. She just kind of looks like has her stuff.
Okay.
You know Rosie the Riveter?
Yeah.
She like has tools on her belt, and that's pretty much all this hero is.
This team is original to a book, so it's not something they just pulled from somewhere. This is like an original team.
When? From when?
Huh?
Like, when was the team
coined?
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, this. Oh, this is the original team in this book. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be crazy if it was like an actual comics team that like
they're in like
they became like right after the women were able to vote.
It didn't seem that out there.
I just think it's such a crazy name.
A little crazy name.
Like, you don't see an all black team that are just like the civil rights guys. You know what I mean?
The Black Panthers.
I don't think that that's a superhero team.
but anyway, yeah, there's a, that is something in. It's just, you know, justice-themed team.
Yeah, of all women.
I kind of like a themed team like that, you know? And yeah. It seemed like they were pretty helpful.
Yeah,
they
seem to be the only humans in this universe, because we don't see any other ones.
Yeah.
What do you think about the zombie squid?
Good.
I like that.
Is it a zombie squid?
It doesn't seem like a regular squid.
I thought it was like a kraken.
Sure, it could be a zombie kraken.
Okay.
So it's definitely a zombie, though.
So, yeah, that was cool. Good use of Namor.
Mm-hmm.
Namor probably should have been more
overpowered.
Destructive. Yeah. With this, but...
Yeah, dude can fly. He's super strong. He's got squids.
So, the Human Torch and the Invaders...
Android.
...is an android.
Yeah, I forgot about this.
But he's like a zombie.
He's a zombie android here.
I guess.
They programmed him to be a zombie android. I think he says that. Or somebody says that to him.
Something like that.
Which is kind of awesome. It's so ridiculous that I'm like, that's awesome. Because he says, I may be an android, but I was reprogrammed to be a bit peckish. That's a real line from an android zombie in this.
Yeah, I don't know if they were just trying to...
And he's got the zombie lettering, which means that they reprogrammed how his voice sounds to sound like a Marvel zombie.
Yeah, there's like special lettering for it to... Yeah. I don't know, be effective, I guess.
Yeah, he just didn't want to be left out. I think that's good. That's a good part of this book.
I don't remember where this fucking page is. Is there someone who's a vampire?
No, I don't think so. You must be thinking about the Marvel Zombies show or movie or whatever is coming out, because Blade is in it.
There's a character called Spitfire, who is like a vampire or something.
I thought she just had wings. But you could be right. I don't know.
And one of the new characters is like, you're half vampire, half zombie, and all dead as she kills him.
Nice. Good line.
I'm like, damn.
That was a good bar.
I'm like, technically, she's already like dead, I guess. But that works, that's too.
What, yeah, she stayed in the obvious in good, that moment.
Yeah, it's good, like, zinger. You yeah, know?
That's good. Good one-liner.
So the suffragists, they're like the last of the resistance on this planet.
Pretty much. Miss America has Captain America's shield.
Right.
Which is an interesting thing. I don't think I ever noticed how crazy Dum Dum's like facial hair is. Not because of the mustache, but because of the sideburns go all the way down to like the neck.
Where do you see that? Oh, it's just like.
But they're like thin. They're like thin. Like sideburn sized streaks that go down to the neck.
You know, it's a little different in every other panel. You know?
I guess so.
And the one I'm looking at just looks like normal, like just longer sideburns, but doesn't like.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's like chin strap. Okay, never mind then.
Right. So half their team is basically killed here.
Yeah, but they gain 3 or 4 women.
Right. So that's good. But at least like some that we don't care about, we're just taking care of.
Yeah, so in this issue. Red Raven dies and Dynaman dies.
Right.
So that's a total of like 4 people dead, I think.
So, the really cool aspect I like of this. So, Hitler, he ate the Death Spore flower.
Yep.
Which is from hell.
Yeah.
And is fertilized by the remains of pagan gods. And I just think that's a cool sentence.
It is a cool sentence. You know? I missed the origins of the flower. I was like, okay, there's a flower. But that is cool. Or I don't remember it, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think we know how, like, original Marvel Zombies started. At least not in that trade. Maybe they go into it.
You know, I think they might have explained it. In that trade? Yeah, but, dude, that was fucking so long ago.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
So. Essentially, yeah. So, I really don't remember.
I don't remember either. I wonder, like... You get to, like, Marvel Zombies 4, or whatever it is. I wonder if it's like still super exciting. I'd be interested. But issue three, Daniel.
It probably loses some steam.
I imagine it does, but I imagine it gets crazier.
Because I think Robert Kirkman only did like the second one and then he jumps off.
Yeah. Because he's got Walking Dead going on then.
Right.
But issue three, the team escapes on a train and Howard reveals that they chose Dugan for this mission.
Sorry, back up real quick.
Okay.
Zombie Dum Dum Dugan.
Yep.
Do you see his armband?
It's instead of the swastika insignia, it's a mustache.
Why is that there?
Because he likes his mustache more than the swastika, I guess. We don't see any swastikas in this, do we?
That's a good thing. I think we do.
Okay.
But that was just like interesting.
That is just a silly design element. He's really proud of that aspect of his identity and maybe not so much the Nazi aspect of it.
But. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, the team escapes on a train. Howard reveals that they chose Dugan for this mission so that Dugan can pretend to be a zombie to get into the zombie base and destroy their ship from the inside. But while they're on the train, zombie Valkyries ambush them and they kill Zephyr Zog, that like German scientist dude. Columbia, one of the suffragists, fights Valkyrie on top of the train and she gets bit while cutting Valkyrie's head off. Like the momentum is still there when she cuts the head off and then it bites her. And so she like kills herself before she becomes a zombie. And then Loki pops in the train and reveals that he is responsible for the zombie outbreak. And that's like the cliffhanger.
Definitely didn't expect that.
I didn't either. But they do some cool Asgardian stuff in this book that I enjoy.
Right. So, what was it? Lady Liberty that got bit?
Columbia?
Columbia?
Is her name?
Yeah, she didn't want to turn, so as the train's going through a tunnel, she just stays standing on top of it.
And she gets, yeah.
And gets, and just smashes into the wall.
That's a good way to go.
I think that's fun.
That's a good, that's a good kill.
Instead of ducking, you just don't duck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Pretty easy.
In the beginning, Dum Dum's like pissed that Howard didn't tell him about this part of the plan. And so he's like beating him up. And there's like this Looney Tunes sort of action going on with Howard the Duck, which I appreciate. I think it's a new artist on this issue, but I like they lean into the cartoonish aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
That like German scientist dude gets both of his eyes eaten out. Like they like bite the eye and rip it out.
Yeah, they have to be very precise with their teeth. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Because they're not like
kind of like Squidward when he's just biting the edge of the Krabby Patty.
Yeah, exactly. Because they don't bite through the eye. They just like bite it just enough to get a good grip and then rip it out. So yeah. there's some precision here.
Yeah. I feel like normally they wouldn't really go for the eyes.
Yeah.
That was just like the brutal thing to do.
That was just a statement.
This Flexo dude, is there a dude in there?
I couldn't tell you.
Because I see like human eyes, you know?
I think it might be a dude in some armor.
And then they like never really come back to that.
Well, he can turn into a zombie, I think. Why didn't they just do a bunch of...
He could turn into a zombie?
I think he could turn... I don't think he's... Yeah, he might be like cyborg or something, but...
Okay.
But I don't... Why didn't they just recruit a bunch of robots for this? Get Vision in here?
That's true.
Get another robot? Are there other robots?
Yeah, all the other robots that are in the Marvel Universe.
Get Herbie in there?
Yeah, he'd be perfect for this team. You might have an idea for a new Marvel Zombies book, you know?
Marvel Zombies, all robots. Oops, all robots. I like that there's...
Extermination, you know?
I like that there's...
The cleansing.
Zombie unicorns that the Valkyries fly.
That's pretty neat.
It is pretty cool. Is it unicorns that they fly? I think so.
Pegasuses.
You're right. Pegasi.
Anyway, this Eternal Brain dude.
Yeah.
He's like talking and I guess he is holding the brain of like
an eternal. Yeah,
they didn't say which one.
They don't seem very creative with coming up with names, those Eternals.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll be Eternal Brain. And I don't understand his origin because he like was a normal person for a little bit, but he had an Eternal Brain. And then he was killed, but his brain was fine. And then he put himself into a robot somehow. So there's like steps of this story that don't work in my head.
Just throw in like a
like how are scientist you, or something. How are you just brain and then you get into robot?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Crazy character. Issue 4 that we're at. Yeah, issue 4. So Loki explains that he is the one that started the invasion to essentially fuck with Thor, who likes the mortals. So he creates a zombie invasion to see if Thor will like step in and help, which he's not supposed to do. But Odin is bit at some point, and since he's infected, the Odin force spreads to like all the Asgardians, which just immediately turns them into zombies. Because all the Asgardians are connected to Odin, I guess. So that's pretty bad. You got like Scourge. Remember Scourge? Scourge is the...
Is he like the devil guy?
No. I'm trying to remember the actor's name. He plays Butcher.
Oh, Carl Urban?
Carl Urban. He's a Carl Urban character in the MCU.
Okay, now I remember.
He's a guy with guns, yeah. So you got a zombie Scourge coming after you, zombie Thor, zombie Heimdall. They're all zombies. So they get to the zombie base where Dugan, disguised as a zombie, sneaks into the base. But before he can really do anything, other zombies force him to go to a zombie Red Skull rally. And then the rest of the team is like ambushed by some zombie Asgardians. Dragoon is killed, and the team just kind of forces their way into the base anyway, where they find the transdimensional ship is actually those like magic goats that they use. You know, the ones in Love and Thunder that everybody loves in that movie. They're zombies now.
That like scream.
They scream all the time, every time. And it's funny every time, which is a good thing. That's what everybody loves about that movie.
Good movie.
Yeah. Easily the best. So those are the transdimensional beings. That's the ship or whatever, which is a fun idea. Funniest part, I think, of this book is at the Red Skull rally. They're like starting a chant. And Red Skull's like, where are we going? And the zombies are like, another Earth. And Red Skull's like, when? And they're like, real soon. Which is just a funny chant thing to say.
Yeah.
It's such a polite thing to say. It's like, oh, we'll get there.
Yeah. No rush, you know.
They're not going to say like, right fucking now. They're like, oh, real soon. Just you wait.
Yeah. Some killer dialogue in this. Libertas and the Flaming Skull dude were like real mad that Loki like,
made all the zombies.
Made them all the thing.
For fun.
And then Loki comes back with silly mortals. Tricks are for gods.
Nice.
And I was like,
no, it's not. It's only for you, isn't it?
Isn't that for this god? Yeah. Yeah.
He said for gods, plural.
Yeah. And I just thought that was interesting that someone wrote that down.
Someone wrote that down and was like, that's going in. It gets past the editors.
Does Loki normally does like retro Loki have like a ponytail?
Does he have a ponytail?
Like
on this?
A blonde ponytail? Yeah, it like gets in the way sometimes.
Oh my god, he does.
And
whoa. I've never seen that. Does OG Loki have that? I'm gonna look it up.
What do you mean? Like in the comics?
In the comics, yeah.
I assume so. Like if you go like retro, you gotta go like all the way, you know?
I guess so. I think that was kind of their point, is that dude, I don't imagine. Oh my god.
Imagine Tom.
Oh my god, it's there. It's green, though.
It's green hair?
No, it's green, actually. In this cover, it's green for some reason, but... No, he does have a yellow ponytail. Dude, that's so weird.
Dude, it's like the Mandela effect.
It really is. But since he has it in his book, and I didn't even realize. But look, that's a ponytail right there.
Yeah, dude.
That's so crazy. I'm glad that they took that out. I wonder how long it took before they were like, is this needed? This ponytail?
Yeah.
I wish Tom Hiddleston had the ponytail.
Yeah, I feel like he should have had like blonde hair this whole time.
Like imagine he puts on the helmet and he has the yellow ponytail and then he takes it off and it's just his regular black hair.
You're right. Yeah, dude, it's in like toys and shit.
That's crazy. That's the most Mandela effect thing I think you've ever asked me about. I've never noticed that.
I remember like Richard E. Grant was like the old school Loki in the show.
In the show?
Yeah.
What show?
The Loki show.
There's a Loki show?
What?
I'm sorry. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so
wait, Richard E. Grant was Loki?
Yeah. He plays like the retro Loki.
Oh, that, okay, yeah.
He doesn't have the ponytail.
Dude, the ponytail would have been great there.
Yeah, it'd be so cool.
Oh, man. What a missed opportunity.
I know. Whack.
I knew I didn't like that first season for a reason.
No, the first season, fire. Season two
is great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Daniel, here's just a general zombie question for you. Do you like it when someone can act as a zombie and blend in? Or like dress up as a zombie and blend in? Because it happens like kind of a lot. And I feel like it might be kind of needed in like shows where it's like,
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like when it happens.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that it's possible. I think I like it in The Walking Dead because they like cover themselves in like, you know, bodies, like, body parts and shit. Like in like other zombie.
Yeah. I think that makes more sense.
Because I feel like a smell would be like a.
That's probably their main indication of
like human. In Shaun of the Dead, they like just walk slowly to like, to get to the Winchester or whatever. And so I'm like,
that's lame.
Yeah, that's kind of like
funny. I always prefer distraction over like deception. Like if you throw a grenade or something, or like make some noise, you know, over there.
Yeah,
I like that better than like, yeah, Shaun of the Dead essentially, which is what they do here. They dress up Dum Dum in like some fake skin. It looks like, which it might be zombie skin, so maybe that's why.
And then he's got to like put on a voice and sound like
he puts
like
on zombie face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he puts on the voice too. And one of the zombies is like, what happened to your voice? Because it sounded normal. And then he had to be like, and then he puts on the zombie voice.
Yeah. There is like a bit of lore dropped by Loki that like he doesn't just teleport to where they need to go because zombies can like track magic or something.
Yeah, I think that's just adding some zombie effects that
they're trying to
make it so that
they just want to jump to the end.
Yeah, why wouldn't Loki just do this kind of deal?
Just don't bring it up and then I won't think about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about it either. But I guess there's like a lot of Loki fans that know that he has a ponytail that would have asked those questions.
Yeah, like why didn't he just teleport? Because Loki can do that.
Yeah, he has his ponytail. So
it's also a different universe, so it could be different Loki.
Yeah, but exactly. Exactly.
What if only in this universe Loki has a ponytail?
I'm gonna look for it every fucking time now. Every time I see, but I
can't wait.
I think Loki's been MCU-ified, so he just kind of canonically has black hair.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever bring back the ponytail.
No,
hashtag bring back ponytail.
That's the old. It's also like an old design, you know. Like
I think it would look good now. We should try it.
With the horns, like the new like crown horns that they do.
Yeah. Put that on there too.
I don't know. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah, probably not. We'll probably never see it again, which is unfortunate.
Never know. Never know.
But
unless he needs to like cosplay as himself, but like he does like a retro Loki, you know?
Yeah.
And he has like the blonde
ponytail. And someone would be like, it's a good Loki, but he doesn't have a ponytail. You should cut it off. You know, something like that. That's so crazy to me. I learned something really big, I feel like. issue 5, Daniel.
I think I was reading this. I'm like, whose fucking ponytail is that? Because it's like,
whose ponytail is getting
it? It was like in front of his face. And I'm like, what is that? I'm like, who has a ponytail in this book?
It's like the rat tails and fucking that Jedi's have. It's yeah. Like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah, dude.
That's insane.
You'll probably see it.
You should grow a rat tail.
Me?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Issue 5, Daniel. So the zombie Asgardians attack the team. They kill Blazing Skull, Flexo, and Libertas. Loki wants Dugan and Miss America to find a nuke in the headquarters and use it to destroy the base where the transdimensional ship is.
Whoa, dude, his ponytail's missing.
It is? Where did it go?
The bridge page.
Oh my god, it's gone. What is this, dude? But no, it comes back. What is this?
Dude, that panel is hilarious.
Dude, wait, look. Because in this panel, he doesn't have it. It's a side profile. The next panel, he's got fucking blonde hair right behind him. And in this one.
I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. I got to check every panel. He has it in this one. Dude, that's insane. There's got to be something we're missing. Because it's pretty. It's in there for this fight.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So we got to tell somebody.
I'm sorry. Where were you?
Do you think we could reach out to this writer? Oh, wait. Peter David is now on it.
Ah, rip.
Ah, shit. We'll never know.
Because he brought in the Loki thing, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, I need someone big to wrap this up. I need
someone fucking to just wrap it up, and it doesn't matter. Anyway, so since the Death Flower thing isn't going to work, Loki just lied about that for some reason. He's like, maybe we just use the nuke that's in here to just blow up the base that the nuke is in. So he tells them to go do that. Loki and Zombie Thor fight. Loki's killed when Thor like chokes him out with his own intestines. Zombie Bucky activates the nuke, and then Miss America has to climb onto the nuke and manually like reprogram it. And it launches with her on there. So it's very Captain America resembling.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
I thought that was a great part of this. Dugan meets with the rest of the team, and they climb into a commercial refrigerator with a dead zombie Captain America inside. That's just where they were keeping him, I guess. But they use it as a vessel anyway to have Taxi bring them back to the normal Earth right before the nuke goes off. But at the very end, we see Zombie Cap. He opens his eyes at the end, and it's like, the end, question mark? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they actually did they say the end? Yep, they did. They did a the end, question mark. And yep. That's the book. Couple things. This Thor hammer is big, right? Did you notice that? This is a big-ass Thor hammer. Or Mjolnir, I should say. It's a thick boy. Like, look at this panel. What is that? That's a...
That is a...
That's an absolute Batman.
I was about to say, absolute Batman Mjolnir.
That's a cube. He found a tungsten cube.
Yeah, dude, that's just a fucking square.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. It looks normal in other panels.
It's like a fucking cinder block, dude.
It really is. What a crazy Thor Mjolnir. Yeah, why does Mjolnir work if he's a zombie now? Is he still worthy?
Well, Odin is infected.
It doesn't matter.
Well, Odin can change what the rules are for Mjolnir.
Yeah, I forget how the rules of Mjolnir work. I just know that it's...
Because he just said...
It's made out of Uru, which is like a moon.
Because he just said, only those who are worthy or whatever can lift this.
True. So,
and so he could probably just change it. Thor can use this still.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'll take that. Yeah. I love that Miss America rode the missile or the nuke, just like how Captain America came frozen in ice. Mm-hmm. That what happened. He was riding a missile into some water.
The original
comic, right?
Yeah.
How did it happen in the movie? Was it similar?
There was
or is it a plane crash?
There was some ship that has the blue thing in it.
The Allspark.
Is that the Allspark?
No, that's the Transformers.
I was thinking the Allspark though.
The Tesseract. I said it first.
It's a band. Anyway.
Good band. Is there a band called the Mind Stone?
It should be. Anyway. It was in there, and then there was a bomb or something. I think it was headed towards something, but he just rerouted it to crash into some ice. The icy water or whatever.
Okay.
I feel like I haven't even... It wasn't even that long ago when I watched that, so I feel like I should remember it, but I don't.
Mm.
There's such thing as just taking in too much media, I think.
I think so.
And I do it quite often.
It starts to overwrite just the kind of the mid stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Thor the Dark World.
Yes, you have, dude.
I don't think so.
How?
I just never saw it.
The one with Malachi or whatever?
Malekith? Yeah, I don't think I've seen that all the way through.
And it's
I skipped it in my rewatch with Sophie because I was like, this one's bad, I think.
Really? No, dude. It's it's not that bad.
Really?
I don't think anything's really that bad.
It can't be worse than 4, so I guess I could rewatch it and enjoy it-ish. But I hate 4. Like, a lot.
4's pretty good.
But... No, it's not. You can't be serious.
I don't dislike 4.
What?
It is a drop off for sure from 3 to 4, but you still get it.
2 just seems boring.
I don't know.
It's like dark elves.
Because that's when we get the power ring or whatever.
The power ring?
The power stone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That one's the
angry stone.
Reality?
It's the red one.
Reality.
Isn't that purple?
That's power.
Fuck.
I think I could name all of them.
Green.
Time.
Blue.
Mine.
I think you were going to say money.
Money stone. Okay, maybe I can't name all of them. What the fuck is blue? That's the Tesseract one. That one's mind, isn't it? No, yellow's mind because vision.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what blue is. It's fine.
Anyway, what are we talking about? I don't think you should skip any of the rewatch. You just do it, you know?
All right. What else did you like about this issue? I like that Loki gets choked out by Thor's intestines. That was kind of gross.
That's gross.
That was the grossest thing I think that happened in this. So that was pretty cool. Because he's got some meaty intestines.
Yeah, why are they so thick?
I don't know.
It seems like too thick.
Maybe he was constipated at the time.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess like he could have been eating something. Oh, there's a swastika on Bucky's armband.
Oh, okay, good.
So not a ton of swastikas here.
Yeah.
So his intestines were so thick, and when he was wrapping around Loki's neck, I thought Venom was here.
Yeah, it looked like a Venom tongue.
I was like, let's go, dude.
That would be great. I know, but if they recruited Venom for this.
Yeah. Did you see this panel of Loki's face?
Yeah, that's where I noticed. He's got the ponytail in that one.
Maybe that's why they put the ponytail and then distract from the face.
I'm so interested about this ponytail thing now.
Yeah.
We'll look for it every time.
Oh, like Flexo, fucking the Flaming Skull, and then like one other person.
Yeah,
was killed by the goats.
Yeah.
Evil goats.
It was...
So, some people in this resistance go to the...
Yeah.
616 people or whatever.
That originated in this Earth, they go to the 616.
Yeah, and so they, in order to survive a blast, they go into this industrial, like, or commercial refrigerator, and Red Skull has just had
a cap
in there hanging up. It's
a trophy.
To keep fresh, just for little snacks sometimes.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think zombies really need to keep other zombies fresh.
I think that's just him being a hater.
Yeah.
Like, he probably turns Cap into a zombie. He's like, I'm going to keep this one. Or maybe it was his first.
Yeah, that is
maybe it is real special.
That is big hater energy, for sure.
Yeah. So he just kind of keeps Cap in there, keeps him hungry.
Yeah, just prolong suffering, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the book. Shall we get into...
Hold on. So, also, before they, like, escape, they all get cornered by a bunch of zombies.
Uh-huh.
In Eternal Brain, he, like...
Oh, yeah.
Asks someone to smash his, like, head dome thing that's protecting his brain, and then it just blows up, like,
expands
into, like, a giant brain, and then that just, like...
Is a distraction... Yeah,
that's fucking sexy to the zombies. They all go for it. It's like a giant cake or something.
Yeah, brains are probably their favorite part.
Right, easily.
Top three parts are probably like brain, ass, and and like boobs or something. I don't know.
I don't know. They always go for necks and stuff.
Oh, necks. That's got to be top three for sure.
Yeah.
Brain, neck, and ass. Those are the top three zombie parts.
That's what
I'd be into if I was a zombie, I think.
That's a zombie. That's on the menu.
Yeah.
I just thought that was like,
is that a thing? Like,
clearly, like they do have like very basic zombie tropes, you know? Yeah. And there must have been some sort of plan to have Eternal Brain in this from the start just to use this later some distraction.
I mean, I don't know if Peter David took over, he's probably like, what the fuck?
Maybe it was like mostly like an editor book. They just needed like someone to write it.
I think so, because the back matter is just only editor. So I think. Editor was like, here's kind of my idea. I think it would be fun.
Yeah. Jake Thomas.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But
anyway, back matter.
Yep. Back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
So it's basically just the editor being like, I like Marvel Zombies. Thanks for the team for putting this together and the crazy ideas. And then he like sketches out his general ideas for the covers. And then, which is just like stick figures and like bad drawings, and Mike Del Mundo makes it probably like the best thing you've ever seen.
Right.
And the main reason we read this book is because of the Mike Del Mundo art.
And it's like quite a stretch.
It's like
it's kind of
amazing looking at each one. Like, I didn't even look at cover two, but now that I see it here, let me look at this. Yeah, so stick figure, and then there's like some...
The number four cover with like the rainbow bridge is incredible.
That is absurd.
And the concept looks so far from an idea, you know?
Yeah. Let me find the issue four cover.
That almost like makes Mike Del Mundo's job like harder.
Yeah, you know, he's like, what is he even trying to communicate here?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's issue four is probably one of the better covers of all the five.
Yeah, it's
which
like
is the one on
it's
the
like
rainbow
borderline
bridge.
Like Scotty Young-ish, yeah. You know, and but still
It's like absurd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. So pretty cool. But that was the only back matter. It was just that one page of the editor being like, this was fun.
I got like recap art.
Oh, really? I only got this page and then an ad for New Mutants in 2012 and an ad for Matt Fraction's Hawkeye.
It's so strange.
And an ad for Gambit number one by James Asmus and Clay Mann. That's cool.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I got like the back cover, which is what you got in the front for some reason.
Oh, I have it. Oh, yeah. I don't have it in the front.
But then they have these little like recap clip art looking things.
Oh, I had that they before had. Each issue. I didn't really
you read did? Them. Okay. Yeah. Mine was just pushed towards the back.
Okay.
So that's something.
Yeah. That's fun.
What do you rate this, Nathan?
Oh, yeah. If I was a zombie, I'd probably rate this like a shoulder.
Shoulder. Okay.
There's like some fun. There's like some meat in there, I think.
Yeah.
But not like a typical zombie thing.
But there's different parts of the shoulder too. So it's kind of like a.
There's like, you know, three parts of the shoulder.
It's like a Neapolitan.
Yeah, flavor. I would say so. Like there's zombie stuff in there. There's Howard the Duck stuff in there, which is just kind of silly and fun. Some Asgardian stuff. It's kind of like a catch-all stuff. So if I was a zombie, I'd rate it a shoulder. It's not a neck, not a brain, it's not an ass.
I'd give it like a, if I was a zombie, I'd give it like a love handle.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
You know, like mostly fat, you know, mm-hmm. not a lot of protein in there. I guess there would be some,
mm-hmm.
but not you know, meatiest. Sometimes the fat is like a tasty part.
Yeah.
You know, like on a steak or whatever.
Yeah, I can see that.
So
it's a good rating.
But not definitely not most nutritionally dense, I would imagine.
Yeah.
If I was eating a human.
That's a good rating. So with that, we'll go into the pull list, Colin.
Shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
So, Cap number 3 comes out.
Nice. You don't have to pick it up.
I don't know.
You don't know? I haven't read it yet.
I'll look at my stack.
Okay. That's fair.
Punisher Red Band, number one.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
That'd be cool. Superman the Kryptonite Spectrum, number two.
Sweet.
The Green Lantern Corps, number eight.
Sweet.
Undead Iron Fist, number one. Are you interested in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pick up anything Iron Fist.
And then there's a book coming out that I know about. It's called Powers 25.
Like
number one,
Bendis powers.
Yeah,
really.
It's like a just fucking new story, you know. And
hell yeah!
And it's kind of Oming? Like, yeah,
really.
Oming's back for it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, we're here we go, and so that was kind of a selling point for me. So sweet. It seems like it's kind of like reminiscent. I don't know if that's the word, but it'll be. Similar to normal powers, but just like a new team, I guess.
Yeah, so, I think reminiscence is a good one. How long was the original run on powers? Was it super long?
There was like a lot of runs. I think the main one was like 30 or 40 maybe. Mm. But there's been like some multiple reboots and stuff.
I think that'd be fun to just dive into and read.
I know I'd like it.
Yeah, I know I'd like it too, you know. Cool.
Did you read anything new?
I sure did.
Here we go. Finally.
I read this book you lent to me.
Be careful with her.
I will. Drome by Jesse Lonergan. It is his original written and drawn and colored and lettered and everything book.
Yes, sir.
I might have messed up the,
I anticipated the
dust
that.
Cover a little bit, so sorry about that.
That's okay.
Do you read it with the dust cover on? I don't know.
No.
I don't know what the etiquette is.
Do you?
I did initially, and I was like, this is fucking annoying. But were you supposed to put it somewhere?
Yeah, I just put it on my desk or something.
Mm, that's cool.
Because, yeah, it's all fucked up. But
dude, that book fucking rules.
Isn't it?
He just
nice.
He just gets it, that guy. He just fucking gets it. Like, this is the best thing I've read all year.
Wow, okay.
Like, it is so fucking rad. And it, like, the amount of... And it's so funny because the amount of dialogue in this is probably less than like one issue of Marvel Zombies Destroy.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a silent book, but it wasn't.
It like is for a lot of it, though. And you understand everything. But just like he's so good at the little things, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just like be turning a page and I'm like, this thing that he did is brilliant. Like, there's because it's about like gods and stuff and them creating life, and you know, that's not entirely original concept on its own, but then it's about like humanity like taking over some of the demigods and stuff. But then there'll just be things like day and nighttime are represented by these like creatures, and like daytime is like a horse, and then nighttime is like a bull, and then there's like a lot of just panels that are circles, which is supposed to represent just kind of days and days kind of going by. And it's just like crazy shit like that, that he communicates so well for it just being a bunch of fucking shapes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like a lot of just like the cover, there's like a bunch of squares. That's like his thing. He puts a bunch of squares everywhere, even though they're not individual panels.
Right.
But like the gods will just kind of be overlaid on top of it because the panels are like reality or whatever. And people are inside the panels. The gods are kind of like over it. And it's just like shit like that, that is so little, but he just gets it. You know,
I love
what I mean?
How he would like lead your eye.
Yeah, and he fucks with the format a lot. Like, you're not reading exactly top left to bottom right. You'll be starting like the middle of the page, you go down, and then you kind of go up into the next page, and you go back to the first page, and you
follow the character or whatever.
Is so good at that.
Mm-hmm.
He just like says he's literally like the most punk rock sort of like comics artist, I feel like, because he's just like, whatever, just a fucking page.
Yeah,
you can do whatever I want with it. You can start wherever I fucking say. And I love it. It's so good.
Yeah, he's challenging the medium, dude.
He really is, because like this is the highest sort of use of the medium, I think. I've just like any of his stuff.
Yeah.
So he's great. I'm going to have to get my own copy of that, because that's genuinely a pretty phenomenal book, I would say.
Yeah, I definitely wanted it. And then as soon as I read it, I'm like, Nathan's got to read this. Like,
I can't believe I didn't know that it was like out, because I follow him and stuff.
Like, I would see him post about it, and then it'd just be a future date, and then things just kind of come up.
Yeah, and I think this is like his Patreon book, and he would post a couple pages every week if you like follow his Patreon.
Right.
And so I was seeing like a couple pages of those. I don't have his Patreon, but he would post pages from his Patreon like weeks later.
Right.
And I was like, this looks good.
Did you recognize some of the pages from that?
Yeah. That kind of.
Some were like pages from like the end, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow.
And the ending of it is so trippy too.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Don't you love just how long it is?
I love how long it is, but how short it is, because you burn through them quite a bit, or pretty quickly. But I still spent like the whole week like really chewing on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even when I finished it, I was thinking about it.
Like, I definitely didn't shotgun it or anything.
No. I mean, I read like two chapters or whatever at a time, which are like 50, 60 pages each.
I was reading it next to Sarah, and I was like worried that like I was churning through it too fast.
Dude, I was
to where she's like, are you even reading that?
Yeah.
You know, just thinking like,
I also had, because we were, when I was reading it, it was just like quiet, and she was doing something on her phone, and I just like, the paper's nice. It's nice paper. And I was like, I hope I'm not annoying her by reading like with my fingers turning the pages.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's incredible. Thanks for letting me borrow it.
Yeah, no problem.
That's all I read, though.
Oh, okay. I read Universal Monsters Invisible Man, number one.
Cool.
By James Tynion.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't remember the artist, but really good, actually.
Isn't it? It's not Gavin Guidry, is it?
No. New guy. I don't know.
Got it. Vibes are good?
Yeah, good vibes. It's I don't know this story very well, and you don't even like see the Invisible Man, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the cover is really fuck on this. And,
cool.
You know, James Tynion, he's just good at writing.
He's just good at what he does, man.
He's just good. I always am like, let's see what this guy's about. Yeah. You know? Oh, big shot over here.
He's a very reliable.
That I read, I'm like, yeah, he's good. Okay.
Yeah, he's still got it.
It's a little.
He's the Curry
it's
right
a
now.
It's a lot of, you know, caption stuff, but it's still good stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
He's Steph Curry right now of comics, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'll get two, but it'd probably be a good trade, you know?
Yeah, probably.
I read The Boys, Dear Becky, number one. I just got to the first one.
Nice.
So, like,
I think I read that.
It's, like, 10 or 15 years later
mm-hmm.
since, like, the old book. He's got hair, and it's kind of odd. But someone sent Becky's diary to Huey. But in Becky's diary is like writing from Butcher. But he's like,
wasn't he's how like, does Becky know Huey?
We don't know who sent the diary to Huey.
Oh, okay.
Becky never knew Huey.
Yeah, that's.
But there's like excerpts from Butcher in her diary, like speaking to her, you know, like,
okay, got it.
He almost like takes on her diary in a way. But yeah, he doesn't know like who sent it to him. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know how this will like go over if there's like not really like any soups or anything. And it's just like Huey figuring some shit out or whatever.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I guess it could be fine. Carthanas loves just like people stuff, you know? So
interesting.
But I'll finish it. I read Criminal Volume 1.
Cool.
Coward story.
It's the very first one, right?
Yeah. The yellow one.
Nice.
I have a physical copy of it. And I also have the second one. It's called Lawless.
Yeah, I think I bought the first Criminal Trade on Comixology.
Yeah.
So I think I've read it.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm always like kind of hesitant to get into Criminal just because like it's just all people, you know? And
it can be tough.
And there's a lot of characters and it can be kind of hard to follow, but as soon as you like get into it, I'm like, fuck, this is good, you know, and I finished it, I'm like, damn, that was good.
Okay.
You know, so I'm just kind of going to go through those just so I can read the knives and how that makes sense.
Because
every review I've had, it's like, I've read is people like saying that they're kind of catching up with characters from the old books.
Right.
But I don't think there's like a rubric necessarily or a syllabus.
Yeah.
To on the prerequisites, so I'm just gonna like go through some of it.
That's pretty sweet.
Did you watch anything?
I have watched movies as I was finishing up some wedding stuff, but Shrek just came onto Netflix, so we watched the three of those.
Three?
Yeah. There's four of those movies out right now.
There's four?
There's four of them.
What's the fourth one called?
He's like goes back in time and he's like, I don't want kids. He like wishes he didn't have kids or something like that. I don't know. We didn't watch it.
Isn't that Shrek the Third?
That's the Rumpelstiltskin one. No, Shrek the Third, he goes to find...
That's when he gets the kids.
That's the one with Justin Timberlake. And yeah, that's when he finds out that he's going to have kids.
Okay.
It's the one with Justin Timberlake.
That helps. One and two are great, though.
Dude, they're so good.
I remember watching the first one with Sarah as like a kind of like a date thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this movie fucking rules.
It is so good.
And I remember the second one fondly.
Second one's great. I think
we had that DVD.
It's like,
and we abused it.
We did. Remember the
Far, Far Away Idol?
Far, Far Away Idol.
Yeah, dude.
You already know.
Fucking
Three Blind Mice should have won. That was the best. That was the best performance.
I can see clearly now.
It's funny because they're making fun of their disability, Daniel. Crazy shit. Simon Cowell's in there.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, this movie. I mean, the second one obviously is just. Probably like one of the best movies ever made. I don't know. It's just like, it's just so solid. And I can't point to anything and be like, oh man,
wish they did that better.
Dude, I was looking it up, but I don't know anybody.
The Fairy Godmother?
It was like Stephanie something. Like it was not a name that I knew, but you might know. I don't know.
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Even Prince Charming. He sounds so familiar, but maybe it's just because I was into the movie as a kid.
Shrek 2. Julie Andrews, John Cleese, Rupert Everett.
Jennifer Saunders is Fairy Godmother.
You know, I think I looked this up recently.
Yeah.
For some reason.
And I don't know, like, Rupert Everett, you know, but.
That's definitely, like, a top tier, like, voice acting performance, though.
Larry King is Ugly Stepsister?
That's kind of funny.
That's crazy. Because he's the one who's like, who's the guy? Yeah, great movie. I just, they're classics for a reason. I remember seeing some sort of like mini video essay on just like how crazy it is that Shrek was made. Like from a, not only like 3D rendering standpoint, but just like the guy that made it. He was making bangers for Disney.
Mm.
I can't remember which one specifically, but then he kind of became fed up with Disney. And so he made Shrek, which is obviously like an irony of a lot of the Disney fairy tales and stuff. It's really good.
Right.
I'll find it. I wonder if I liked it. I probably did.
Send it.
I will.
Nice.
That's pretty much all the new stuff. I mean, I watched some more Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm getting more into it now. I kind of fell asleep during the first two episodes because I had a big meal and then I kind of like was falling asleep.
You had two big meals?
I, No. But what was I going to say? Fuck me up.
You're more into it now?
Yeah, I'm more into it now. What's the thing I was going to say? Oh, the Crunchyroll, for some reason, doesn't have subtitles for this show. Like, it's dubbed.
So you had to learn Japanese.
No. It's dubbed. So they're saying stuff in English, but I have a really hard time catching up with everybody's names. Because there's like a good amount of characters. And so like three times an episode, I'm like, okay, so that's Gojo and that's Itinata. And she's like, no, this guy's Itinata. The only character I know is Panda because he's a panda and they call him Panda.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
Yeah. I like but I'm liking it. It's crazy animation. So that's one of the funner parts of it.
Nice.
But the world, I'm having trouble understanding a little bit, but I'll get there. But I like it.
You ever watch Demon Slayer?
Yeah. I watched up until the movie, and then I was like, I gotta watch a fucking movie now.
I thought that animation, like the first episode, was like,
it's pretty unbelievable. Fucking
nuts. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Is this what people are freaking out about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's a lot of demon shows in anime.
That's kind of like the seinen genre, where it's like a little bit more like adult or like older teen focused. So it's like a little bit like edgier than like One Piece or whatever, or something kind of childish.
Just the idea of like spirits or demons or whatever can just pop up anywhere, I feel like is a pretty common trope. Even like Solo Leveling, there's like dimensions where there's demon things going on. But
yeah, they got a thing about demons, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Any like idea there is in like manga or anime, it's done like 100 times.
Yeah,
you know?
That's probably true. I think just it allows probably just the original artists, what do they call them? Mangakas or something?
Mangaka or something? I don't know how
they to just get to go fucking crazy with their spirit design or demon design.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the more entertaining parts of all of them. Because I'm like, who comes up with this?
Definitely.
But anyway, what'd you watch?
I didn't watch much, actually. I watched this movie called 12 Strong. It's got like Chris Hemsworth in...
War movie? Army movie?
Yeah, war movie. You got Michael Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Pena.
Interesting.
And other people. Anyway, it's like a movie about these like 12 dudes that were like sent to Afghanistan like right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And their job was to like take out the Taliban. And like doing that would take out the Taliban in like Afghanistan, like permanently or whatever. And it's based on a true story, but I think like the true story is like the best part of that movie. You know, I don't think like the movie necessarily like
enhances.
Yeah. You know,
just the fact that it was a thing that happened is crazy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cause they all lived, you know, which is crazy.
That's good.
Yeah, definitely. And so that was kind of like odd to not really see any of the main characters dying, you know?
Yeah.
But they had to like team up with like a local like warlord that just hates the Taliban, you know? And so they had to like make nice with them in order to like find all the spots. And it's like a very mountainy area, so they could only get through it like by horse and with like them as a guide, you know? So it's pretty interesting. The combat was actually really cool. And the, you know, the cast was pretty stacked, but I don't know. The third act just seemed kind of like rushed because it's just kind of like a basic action ending, right. You know. And I don't know. Sarah put it on for some reason, and I like
really
I didn't speak up fast enough to stop her.
Okay.
She like hovered over it. She's like, "Have I seen this?" I'm like, "I don't know what you've seen." She's like, "Yes, you do." I'm like, "I guess I do." You know. No, you haven't like, seen that because I haven't seen it.
Yeah. And that's good. Yeah.
So I follow like a bunch of people on Letterboxd, you know, like movie reviewers or whatever. And it's crazy to go to a movie and no one has reviewed it.
Yeah.
You know, that I know.
Is it like a Netflix original?
I think so because it feels like it.
Oh, okay.
It's from like 2018. So it's not like it's.
I mean, Hemsworth has done a couple Netflix.
Yeah. Army it's basically originals. Like probably Extraction, but like.
Oh, just based on a real true story.
Yeah. But anyway, it was fine.
Cool.
I watched Miller's Crossing, which is like the Coens, like
oh,
third
yeah.
movie or something.
Okay.
It's like a Coen Brothers gangster movie. And pretty good. I like this one a lot. You start to see like their sauce, you know, which Sarah described it as like, she's like, this movie's like really weird, but entertaining. I'm like, I think that's like all their movies, you know, but
yeah, I think so.
And so this is just kind of turning through that.
Nice.
It's like a, like gangster, meaning like the around like Prohibition.
Oh, okay.
You know, like 20s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a lot of double crossing and stuff and whatnot.
That's cool.
But yeah, pretty good. So what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Am I getting married?
You're getting married.
I'm getting married.
Yeah.
I know the day. I just don't know when the release schedule is.
Nathan is getting married.
I'm getting married on the next episode when it comes out. I'm going to be a married man.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to read When Spider-Man Get Married.
You still want to do that?
Yeah. Did you have other ideas?
Mm-mm.
Okay. There was one where there's an X-Men one where some people get married, but I never hear anything about it. So I want to do the Spider-Man one.
I think there's like a Cyclops Jean Grey wedding.
No, what I'm thinking of was like a gay wedding, I think. Cyclops, but I'm not saying that you're right. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but is it called Renew Your Vows?
No, dude.
It's just called I'm Spider-Man and I'm Married?
Yep.
Okay. Spider-Man married?
Wedding.
Oh, yeah. X-Men, the wedding of Cyclops and Phoenix. That came up.
Yeah, it's like 370 pages.
The X-Men one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Is this actually a trade, the Spider-Man one?
So,
it says the Wedding Album Gallery Edition.
Yeah, it's like a collection, if that's what you mean.
Oh, okay. So it's like Spider-Man 290 through 292 and then Amazing Spider-Man Annual and a What If?
Spectacular Spider-Man Annual.
Oh, yeah.
So the last couple of things we might not really have to read.
Yeah. That's fine.
If you're all right with that.
Yeah.
Or we could just do whatever you want or something. as a little wedding gift, you know? But this is like...
Yeah, I think we just go with this.
Okay.
Just, none of us can ever get remarried, I guess. We're running out of wedding books.
I know, dude. We have to do one shots or something.
Yeah. If we get remarried.
Came out July 1987. That's not too bad.
Yeah. Late 80s. That's fine. But yeah, so we'll go with that.
Just like read it until it seems like it's not really going anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Because like the what if is like...
That's a stretch.
What if they didn't get ready?
And then there's, there's content from not brand Eck or Etch. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's very wedding related. But
I'd do it for you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Spider-Man wedding edition.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Linktree is in our bio. You can like, comment, subscribe.
You want to send me someone from our registry? No, I'm just kidding. Give us 5 stars. Let us know your favorite Marvel Zombies thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them out there.
We don't know what's good at all.
I don't know what's good. It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everything?
Did you say trailerspot@gmail.com?
I didn't, but you did.
All right. I just did that. All right. We'll go back.
All right. Bye.